Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
I can tell you, folks, that there seems to be a big political fight coming down the tracks. It stems from a law being prepared in Brussels to re-wet bogs and even drain peatlands being used by farmers in this country and across Europe. The EU proposal sets legally binding targets for nature restoration, you see, and the aim is to restore damaged ecosystems and help climate action. But it has caused division within government here. The Taoiseach has said re-wetting farmland may be going too far. Others in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are up in arms as well. Yesterday at the European Parliament Agriculture Committee, the Fine Gael MEP, Colm Markey, voted to reject the nature restoration law. Well, to debate this, I'm joined by Fine Gael MEP, the aforementioned Colm Markey, and Green Party TD for Waterford, Mark O'Cahasy. You're both very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Thank you, Cormac.
Mark O'Cahasy, you're out of the traps on this one, I know. And I know people in the Green Party are irked by all of this. What's your reaction to a member of the party you share a government with voting against this proposal?
Yeah, well, what I'd say, first of all, Cormac, is we had the report at the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity just very recently, and recommendation number one, right out of the traps on that report, is that the state must take prompt, decisive and urgent action to address biodiversity loss and restoration, and must provide leadership in protecting Ireland's biodiversity for future generations. Now, the first opportunity that this state has had in terms of vindicating that first recommendation of the Citizens' Assembly of Biodiversity is around this EU nature restoration law. We have an opportunity here to set out an ambitious vision for how we restore biodiversity, which we know is in a state of freefall all around us. So those 99 citizens who spent their time listening to experts and producing that report need to see leadership from government, not just from government, from everybody across the
world. So what do you say to Colm Markey for voting against it?
I think it was a poor decision to vote against it, and for a number of reasons. I'm not for a moment stating that the original draft proposal from the Commission is perfect. And the Greens, the likes of my colleague Grace O'Sullivan, they're going to be amending this proposal when it comes before the Envi Committee. But what Colm has done by actually vetoing this on PESH and the Agri Committee, that means he can't amend this now. The option to amend it when it comes to plenary comes via his committees.
Okay, Colm Markey, can you justify your vote?
Yes, I can, for the simple reason that, let's be clear about something. I'm all for nature restoration. We all recognise the biodiversity crisis. But frankly, we feel this legislation is not fit for purpose. It will not do what people are talking about. It won't protect biodiversity. It's really not fit for purpose, and it's the wrong approach. It's forcing people against their will, and we know that won't work. And aside from that...
So how will it not restore peatlands and farmland
that's drained? For starters, it's poor legislation. There's no definition of what peatland is. There's no map that tells us what land is affected. There's no indication of how it'll impact on neighbours. It's going to cause a major row in relation to property rights, because people will see this as a challenge on property rights. So it's just going to get bogged down in a big row, pardon the pun on the bog. But the reality is, it's the wrong approach, and we need to look at it differently. We need to legislate to incentivise people as opposed to legislate to force people against their will. And that's the fundamental difference.
Is that true? No definition on what peatland is, Mark?
Well, what I would say to Colm is if there's issues in the draft proposal, then what you do is amend it. So Colm is saying, well, no, we want to throw this out completely. And then a suggestion, we legislate in some other way. If he has a proposed alternate to this legislation, I certainly haven't seen it. This is a very in-depth piece of work. It's not something that was thrown together overnight. And by voting to veto on two of his committees, that means he won't be able to submit amendments at plenary stage.
Colm?
Nobody is saying it's a perfect law. We will be working to amend it.
Why didn't you amend it?
Absolutely. Well, let me explain. I voted on the Agriculture Committee. It was a whole different set of people who voted on the PESH Committee, the Fisheries Committee. We talk about legislation. We were actually sitting here drafting legislation for carbon farming, a way to incentivise people to do all these sort of things, to work with people and work with them and encourage them and incentivise them. A carrot rather than a stake. We know a system where you force people down a particular road, they'll just pull against you. Where he says,
I understand that point.
But yes,
why don't you answer, Colm? Why don't you answer Mark's point there? Instead of vetoing or voting against it, this, why didn't you amend?
He asked me, had I an alternative proposal?
No, no.
And I have.
No. Why didn't you amend this proposal?
Because I don't think it's fit for purpose. It's going to force people against their will. It's going to impact on property rights. It's going to get bogged down on the ground with people not willing to work with it. The definitions aren't in it. It's just not
so
fit
why
for
not
purpose
amend
from
it
top to bottom.
To make those points.
You can't amend it to not force people to do things against their will.
So this is fundamentally flawed, is his point, Mark.
He's correct in that you can't amend this legislation to force people to do things against their will, because that's not contained within this legislation. And we have huge amounts of really emotive language being used in this case, and a lot of it which focuses around one particular element, which is Article 9.4, which is only one small element of what we're actually talking about. And there's this talk of mass land confiscation. In fact, when we talk about rewetting, there have been voices that have suggested that, Colm. When you look at the rewetting, which, as I said, is only one small part of what we're talking about here in a nature restoration law that's much broader, much wider, much more ambitious, the heavy lifting in terms of rewetting, that can be done on state land, it can be done on Borden Mona land, it can be done on Caolte land. And in point of fact, the ambitions that we have and the targets that we've set out in the Climate Action Plan, which all parties across the Oireachtas have voted on, are more ambitious in terms of rewetting targets than what's been proposed.
I don't know
by
where
commission.
That leaves that target then. Let me ask Mark. On this, there are legally binding targets, isn't that right? So you're saying most of it could be done on state land. Are you saying you wouldn't have to go near farmland at all then?
The vast preponderance, definitely out to 2040, can be done on state land.
You would be going near farmland.
The initial proposal some that was put forward by the Commission was in around 116,000 hectares. That's been reduced to 80,000 hectares, as I understand it. We can do most of that on Borden and Mona lands.
Yeah, but
which
what
have
do you
been
say to the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar? He said that rewetting farmland might be going too far here.
Yeah, well, I'm saying to that the huge burden of heavy lifting can be done on state land, and we don't have to touch farmland. And any farmers who choose to enter into this process, and the other thing is that rewetting land is not necessarily surface water. People are equating these two things in their mind. No, these could be available for summer grazing, as many lands in the West has often been.
So are you saying the Taoiseach and Colm Markey and the likes of them are way off the mark here?
What I'm saying is, when I look at the figures that have been proposed by the Commission, particularly the ones that have been somewhat watered down from the initial ambition, which I personally would have supported, the higher level of ambition, and you compare that to the lands owned by Borden and Mona, by Caolte, on these peaty lands, and some of the changes that have been made in terms of how you can treat forestation on those peaty lands, we can do the vast preponderance of this work on state lands, certainly
up to 2040. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me that you're suggesting that the likes of Colm Markey doesn't understand what needs to happen here.
Well, what I would say to Colm is, whether he's aware of the targets that are already contained within the Climate Action Plan, which are actually more ambitious in terms of land use change, because we have already, all parties across the Dáil have committed to that Climate Action Plan, and they are already more ambitious than what we're looking. If we're just looking at that specific aspect of the rewetting, which, in my opinion, having looked at it, I think Article 4 is actually far more challenging in terms of looking at the EU protected habitats.
So let's get back on that, Colm Markey. And I said that with respect, because that's what I'm deducing from what Mark is saying. But the point is, if you're not signing up to this, why did you sign up to greater targets in the action plan?
The point is, why would you have to legislate if it's only involving national ambition? Because the state could do it without having to legislate against itself. So the reality is that this will affect ordinary people on the ground. And the other thing about it is, it's the lack of definition. It's the lack of understanding what exactly. Mark is right. We don't know what rewetting is, but that's causing a lack of confidence on the ground. It's causing people not to. The legislation is not fit for purpose because it's causing that hysteria.
You don't know what rewetting means. Is that it?
There's no definition. Is it a foot below the surface? Is it, say, two centimetres, 3 centimetres above the surface? There is no definition of what rewetting is.
It would have been entirely open to Colm to propose an amendment to the legislation had he not opted, in fact, to veto his own voice in terms of amendments by voting the way he did at those committees.
What I want to see is a situation where we work with, cooperate with the people on the ground, incentivise them through a model like Carmarthen Farming or the EIP model that we use already that has been very
successful. And what if they don't want to, Colm?
If they don't want to, we will incentivise. The reality
and
is
if they don't want to with the incentives, let's say, what if the farmer wants to continue working his or her way? What then?
Well, I believe that there'll be, like, we can, as we say, we can do a certain amount of it on state lands, but I believe if we create the right model and put the right model in place, there would be significant funding and coming behind us from the private sector to in order to enable the like
so
of carbon
farming. The private sector
would be prepared to offset.
The evidence, in fact, is telling us that farmers do want to work this way. So in Cullum's own constituency in the northwest, 820 farmers this week are after getting cheques in through the door, an average 3,100, 2.4 million that's been disbursed. And that was for blanket bog conservation activities. So they're farming
but
on blanket bogs. They've actually
correct.
And because the funding was made place, and nobody is talking about forcing farmers, there's been huge uptake in the acre scheme. There's been an explosion in terms of organic farming since the Greens have gone into government and really opened up the incentives. I absolutely agree farmers need to be incentivised to farm in this way. And I think the vast majority of farmers do want to farm this way as long as we protect on-farm incomes.
Can I ask
you
a more general question and a political question as well? I know from chatting to some people in the Green Party that one person said, I'm sick of being undercut by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on climate action. Is that a feeling in the Green Party?
I'm not especially interested in delving into that kind of politics.
But is that true, though?
What I would say is that the Green Party can be relied upon to be a voice for climate action. We can be relied upon to be a voice for nature. We can be relied upon to be a voice for future generations in this coalition and any future coalition. That's how we see
the
our
inference
roles.
Is that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil can't.
I want to see every party within the Dáil live with the ambition that I have.
You can't be relied upon, Colin Markey.
Fine Gael can be relied upon to come forward with practical systems that will work. The fundamental difference here is it's idealism over something that will work in reality. If you put this proposal in place, you're going to have an almighty row about property rights because it will be seen as an infringement on property rights.
I'm delighted to take idealism over ideology, Colin.
It seems there's a mighty row brewing in the coalition, that's for sure. Texts are coming into us at 51551. Colin Markey of Fine Gael, Mark O'Cossey of the Green Party. Thank you both very much indeed.